A Labor and Greens-dominated Senate inquiry has slammed Transfield's management of the Nauru Immigration Detention Centre on the same day the company announced it was likely to win another five-year contract to operate the centre. The report tabled last night said the culture of secrecy surrounding the offshore processing centre increased the risk of wrongdoing and abuse, with female asylum seekers afraid that no one will protect them from sexual harassment and violence. A dissenting report from government senators criticised some of the evidence of the committee as not being credible. But Immigration Minister Peter Dutton, as we heard, told AM this morning that he will consider the findings of this report. Gillian Triggs is the President of the Australian Human Rights Commission. Gillian Triggs, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
This report says that the Transfield operated Nauru is badly run and that knowledge of what goes on inside, knowledge from the Australian government of what goes on inside is woefully inadequate. Now, you were blocked by the government from visiting Nauru back in 2014. What do you know about the conditions and the culture inside this centre?
Well, the Australian Human Rights Commission does receive complaints from those who have been held now for, on average, about a year and 3 months on Nauru. So we know quite a lot. I should also say that we've been working very collaboratively with the new Department of Immigration and Border Protection, and they have been working with us to review CCTV footage. So we've got a very good sense of what is happening, and we are considering that evidence at the moment.
Does your sense of what's happening coincide with the findings of this committee? They heard alarming allegations of child rape and sexual assault of asylum seekers.
Yes, it does, and indeed it confirms everything that we were saying in our report, The Forgotten Children, where, of course, our emphasis was on the medical condition and impact of prolonged detention on children. This report of the Senate Select Committee and indeed of the Moss report was focusing on Nauru exclusively, while as we looked at all detention centres. But in essence, this Select Committee report and the evidence given to it confirms solidly the evidence that we received some year or so ago.
Well, can I ask you a bit more about that? Because in a dissenting report, the government senators on this committee have actually questioned the credibility of some of those giving evidence to the inquiry. Do you have any doubts about those giving evidence? And in terms of the allegations of abuse in particular, do they match what you heard?
They do. There's no doubt, of course, that that one of the difficulties with all of these inquiries, whether it's ours or the Moss report or this Senate committee, is that evidence is given to us. And, of course, one has to assess whether or not they're entirely balanced in their views. But they must be taken seriously. But there's no really opportunity to fully forensically determine the accuracy or otherwise of particular reports. But when you get the same kind of evidence repeated over and over again by people of very considerable reputation and objectivity, then it's fair to say that that evidence is looking as though it's truthful, especially when it's confirmed by CCTV and other video evidence.
And I guess the only way you can confirm some of the allegations is to be in there, and one of the recommendations of the committee is that Australia increases the transparency of conditions and operations at the processing centre on Nauru, including by ensuring provision of reasonable access in negotiation with the government of Nauru, by the Human Rights Commission, by the media, and there's also talk of the Ombudsman too. How important is this?
Well, we see it as very important because bringing the media along, ensuring that the relevant agencies, including, of course, the Australian Human Rights Commission, it's possible to start pulling together objective evidence in order to determine exactly what is going on. But when you have evidence that we reported in the Forgotten Children's Report, 33 sexual assaults, nearly 300 assaults involving children, these statistics are being supported by the Moss Report in relation to Nauru and now by the Select Committee. So the evidence is there, but obviously were there to be access more directly to ensure transparency, we will be able to confirm the truth of that evidence and the allegations. And in particular, if I might say so, it's been enormously important to have the media well informed and to go to Nauru, whereas, as you may very well know, visas are now costing many thousands of dollars, a very significant chilling effect on the ability of the media to report on these matters.
This committee recommends that the Ombudsman undertake independent external review of all complaints involving the conduct of Australian-funded staff or contractors, and it also recommends that the Australian government pass legislation to enforce the mandatory reporting of any reasonably suspected unlawful sexual conduct, sexual harassment, or use of force or assault. I mean, kind of beggars belief that this doesn't happen already. Isn't it already mandatory for that to be reported, for the Australian government to be told of this?
Well, I think there's no doubt that the government is very well aware of all of the documented cases that we made, for example, 33 of sexual abuse, and those numbers have now considerably increased. But I think perhaps the point that's being made by the Select Committee is that the situation is underreported, and I think what they're trying to do is to strengthen the need for reporting through the idea of mandatory reporting to the police. We were certainly surprised in a number of instances that were reported to us at the Australian Human Rights Commission when we visited the detention centres throughout Australia, was that while they were reported to the department didn't necessarily report them to the police. So this is an advance that's being proposed by the Select Committee this time.
How important is it for all the inquiries that have happened now and all these allegations of horrible things, of rape and abuse of women and children and attacks on individuals be brought together? The report suggests that the Department of Immigration and Border Protection, in consultation with the police, undertakes a full audit of all the allegations of sexual abuse, child abuse and other criminal conduct reported to your commission, to the Moss Review and to this inquiry. Do you think an audit like that is a priority? Do you see merit in that recommendation?
Well, I think the evidence is pretty clear, to be honest. It's been repeated over and over and over again. But at the same time, the point is well made by the dissenting report of the coalition senators that it's not possible in the course of these very short inquiries to determine the absolute accuracy of particular allegations. And therefore, I think we've reached a stage now where we've certainly recommended that a full Royal Commission be established to properly determine the accuracy of these allegations. And of course, things wax and wane over time. Things might be worse at one moment than another. But I think it's time that we had absolute clarity as to the facts and how this has been operating. But one of the very disturbing features of this is that the dissenting report simply says that the whole of the rest of the report is largely redundant on the basis that that everything's fine now, or that the matters are subject to Nauruan law. So there's a consistent attempt by the government to argue that they're not actually responsible for these absolutely appalling statements of sexual abuse and assault. And we know, as a matter of both Australian law and international law, that the Australian government retains both a duty of care and a responsibility for the treatment of asylum seekers, whether they're held in Australia or in Nauru or Papua New Guinea.
Can I just clarify that with you under law? Because the Australian government has repeatedly said these are matters for the Nauruan police to investigate, and it's offered to give better training and support to the Nauruan police. The minister said yesterday, you know, he can't guarantee access to the media, better access to the media, to the Nauruan Detention Centre, because that's up to the Nauruan government. What is it, in your view, in your legal view, that means the Australian government does have the power to either police, oversee and ensure better transparency?
Well, there's no doubt at all, of course, that Nauru is a sovereign nation. But the very, very clear position as a matter of international law, firstly, is that where Australia has effective control over the acts, then Australia retains international legal responsibility for the treatment of asylum seekers. That's the first point. The second is that as a matter of Australian law, and as confirmed by the Law Council of Australia, Australia has a duty of care under our domestic law to those asylum seekers. They've sought our protection, and when we transfer them to another country, we retain that duty of care to ensure that they're properly treated. So we cannot simply wash our hands of the affair by saying, well, we have a memorandum of understanding with the Nauruan or Papua New Guinea governments. And can I please point out, Fran, that we still have absolutely shocking numbers of children being held in detention. We have 2,015 held in Australia, 118 of them children, 637 people held on Nauru, 87 of them children, and about 1,000 men held on Manus. So the numbers are still there, and despite promises, the children continue to be held, many of them for years, but on average about a year and 3 months.
It's 16 past eight. We're speaking with Gillian Triggs, President of the Australian Human Rights Commission. Can I just ask you finally if you have a view on the management of the centre, because the committee's findings were that the centre is poorly run, and it recommends that certainly the welfare services be hived off and given to an NGA, not to a company like Transfield. But that occurred on the same day it was revealed by Transfield that they'd been chosen as the preferred tenderer to run the Nauru and Manus Island centres for another 5 years. Are you concerned about this?
Well, we're deeply concerned. It's extremely troubling. And if you look at the figures from Transfield Services itself, that I think in the 6 months of this year alone, they've dismissed about 170 or 80 people for one reason or another from their own staff. And the figures over the last few years of terminations of staff are really shocking. But the conditions sheeted back to Transfield staff, or Wilson, which is a subcontractor, are extremely disturbing. And the idea that they should be granted another 5-year contract in these circumstances is something that clearly needs to be reconsidered in light of the findings by the select committee. You will probably already be aware that the Save the Children have had that a contract for some time. They're very disturbed that as an independent group they have delivered those services, they believe, to high standards. And it does seem at least that a question or questions should be asked as to why Transfield should receive this contract when we have a reputable group such as Save the Children who've been conducting these services in a way that meets basic respect for their humanity.
If Transfield is running the centre for 5 years and also running those services for children in particular without Save the Children there, the presence there, do you think things are likely to get worse?
Well, the reports, both our own findings, those of the Moss report, and now of the Senate Select Committee, suggest very strongly that Transfield has not managed to meet the requirements of the proper treatment under the service agreements. And I think in those circumstances, it seems very, very troubling that they should be awarded another 5-year contract. I think that needs to be looked at and looked at by an objective, independent reviewer to determine whether the contract should be awarded in these circumstances. And it really does underpin the point that's made over and over again, is the lack of transparency, the secrecy, the culture of secrecy, and that I think underpins how a decision has been made in relation to Transfield Services.
Gillian Triggs, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Gillian Triggs is the President of the Australian Human Rights Commission.